As you take your seats, open to Matthew chapter 19 as we continue this morning with our sermon series about our dream home. Let me just echo again what Chris said. Man, Vacation Bible School at Hardin Baptist Church, I believe it was the best ever and absolutely unbelievable. All of the children and just all of the adults, and we praise the Lord for this wonderful, wonderful week to invest in the lives of children. If you missed it this year, please next year, I'd make a commitment that I'm not going to miss VBS at HBC because we truly say YES to VBS at HBC. A couple of weeks ago, we began to talk about the master bedroom and bath. It took all of that message talking about the bedroom. I hope you realize now that the bedroom, when we began to build our dream home, is the need for intimacy in the husband-wife relationship. And from the Song of Solomon, we tried to share with you the importance of the master bedroom, that husband-wife relationship of intimacy, not only physically, but spiritually and psychologically as well. Now, normally when we speak of a master bedroom, we speak of the master bedroom and bath. So this morning and tonight, we're going to talk about the master bath. If you would stand with me, if you found Matthew chapter 19, we want to use Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 18, John chapter 13, Genesis chapter 3, and 1 John 1 as passages that back up the principles we're going to teach this morning. But this morning's message is going to be more topical than exegetical, but I promise you we've studied all of those passages, and from those passages we want to apply a topical message about the need not only for intimacy in the home, but the need for privacy and cleansing. And I refer to that as the master bath. I believe every husband-wife relationship must have privacy and they must have cleansing in order for us to truly achieve the intimacy and oneness that God has so designed. But there is a major roadblock to intimacy. There is a major roadblock to cleansing and privacy, and that's revealed in Matthew chapter 19. So if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, we're going to begin with verse 3. Jesus has just entered Judea from Galilee, and there's a lot of people following him. He's healing people. And then verse 3 says, "And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, 'Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?' He answered, 'Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, 'Why then,'" now watch this language, "'did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?' He said to them, 'Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery.' The disciples said to him, 'If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry.' But he said to them, 'Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it's been given. For there are eunuchs who have been made so from birth, there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it.'" Father, we come before you humbly. I think this church, you can feel it this morning, is exhausted. Because, man, we gave our all this week for our children and for your glory. But, Father, it's Father's Day, and we want to celebrate you and the joy of being a father. And, Father, what made us fathers is truly that relationship that we have with our wife. So we want to talk this morning about the master bath. Empower us to speak, empower us to listen. But most of all, don't let us be hearers only, but doers of your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The master bath that Salisa and I have at home is probably no different, essentially, than the one you have in your home. In most of our master bathrooms, we probably have more mirrors and more lights than in any room in our house. Agreed? We have more sinks in that room than any other room in the house. We have a jacuzzi or a bathtub in that room. We have a shower in that room. City folks have toilets. In the country, we have commodes, or vice versa, depending on how you were reared. We have cabinets. Most of our master baths are connected to the master bedroom. That's why we call it the master bedroom and bath. I believe with all of my heart, after studying Scripture and also of being married for as long as I've been married, I believe with all of my heart there is a connection between the need for intimacy and the need for privacy and cleansing. I personally believe that what's happening in the bedroom in intimacy is a reflection of what's happening or not happening in the bathroom when it comes to privacy and cleansing. I believe that divorce only acknowledges publicly what's already taken place privately, and that's a separation. We have many homes that are in need of remodeling the master bedroom and bath. Oh, a divorce has not taken place yet, but there is already a separation taking place between the husband and the wife. And what so many husbands and wives don't get is, until it's too late, is that what's happening in the bedroom is a reflection of what's not happening in the bathroom. And I want to talk about that this morning for just a little bit. Jesus was tempted with a question, tested by the Pharisees. He took them back to the beginning for his answer of God's intention for marriage. God's intention from the beginning was there never to be a separation. There was never to be a divorce. Because what God joined together, He wanted it to stay together and not let man ever separate. The Pharisees said, why then did Moses command a man to divorce his wife? Well, God never commands a man to divorce his wife. But under the law of Moses, Moses permitted it. Why? Because of the hardness of man's heart. Now, ladies, that does not just refer to the husband. That refers to the wife as well. Hard hearts in marriage cause a separation that may stay private, but will ultimately be public. No matter how much you try to hide that from your kids, no matter how much you try to hide that from your family, no matter how much you try to hide that from your employer or your church, it'll eventually be public, whether you divorce or not. Instead of living a life of oneness, two people living a life of separation. Literally doing their own thing, going their own separate ways. And that was never God's intention for marriage. Here's what we must understand. Jesus in John chapter 13 laid down a tremendous principle about the need for cleansing. The setting there is, of course, Passover and the Jews going to the bathhouse, getting cleansed, coming to eat the Passover meal. And once you had bathed, you still needed to be cleansed. Jesus gave that its ultimate meaning. When he talked about as a disciples, we never go back to the bathhouse for salvation again, but just like Peter and the disciples, there will be a need in each of our lives for daily cleansing. What I don't think many of us understand is what it does to our spouse, what it does to the marriage when we don't deal with what's wrong in our life. I don't care who you are, you cannot live in this world without getting a little bit of this world on you from time. And because God has allowed us to have a place of cleansing in our life, when it gets on us, we can deal with it before it gets in us. But if we don't deal with it, when it gets on us, it can become so ingrained in the life of a husband, so ingrained in the life of a wife, that man, it's tough. It's tough. One of the neatest moments in our home life, Salisa and I, is that day during the week when she washes the sheets, and she's got some of this stuff that Miss Lily gave her that, man, those sheets just smell awesome. And when those sheets come out of the dryer, she irons those sheets, she irons the pillowcases, she puts them on the bed, and wow, I can't wait to crawl into the bed that night. She has never let me crawl into the bed after coming straight from church or straight from the field. She just won't let me do it. And can I be honest with you? I don't want to. Those sheets, that bed smells so good. It is so clean. It is so neat. I shower, I shave, I brush my teeth, I wash my hair, and I want to crawl into that bed clean. Boy, if you could just see intimacy that way. If you could just see the relationship with your spouse in intimacy, physically, spiritually, and psychologically, as such a holy, sacred thing, you wouldn't want to bring anything into the bedroom that would defile that moment. Well, where do you deal with that? Where do you deal with the dirt? Where do you deal with the grease? Where do you deal with the grime? Because you can't live in this world, you got a little bit on you. You deal with that in the bathroom. And let me stress to every husband, let me stress to every wife, that must be a place of privacy. You don't talk about that to mom, and you don't talk about that to daddy. You don't talk about that to the children. You don't talk about that to anybody unless you have to call the plumber. Plumbers sometimes have to know the junk. Because if that's not going to be a place of privacy, there will not be a lot of confession going on. This is the place where we deal with the yuck in our lives. And so here's what I want you to remember. You probably need some mirrors and some lights in your master bath. Now, we don't do this. If I was redesigning, I don't know if Salisa would let me do this, but I've really thought about this because it would help me a lot. The way our shower is arranged, there's no reflection. I can't tell you how many times I take a shower and miss a spot. It's kind of like washing a car. I always have to go back and touch up the wash job on the truck. Do you agree? Think you got it all, rinse it off, and there's a spot that you just missed. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't tell you how many times I've been on the farm, we've had to repair equipment. I come home, take a shower, think I'm clean, get out of the shower, and there's a spot. There's just some places I can get dirty that I can't see. But I see it when I stand in front of the mirror. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the bathroom with Salisa after getting in the shower, getting ready to put my shirt on, and she, whoa, missed a spot. I'm really bad at being at a restaurant, taking my napkin and wiping my face and missing a spot. I don't know why, but it's not offensive to me when I've gotten greasy and I can't see a spot. But why is it so offensive spiritually and psychologically when I miss a spot? We got three mirrors in our bathroom. A huge one in front of two sinks, a small one in front of the vanity, and then a smaller one on the cabinet top. We got eight lights on one mirror alone in our bathroom. And that's not counting the ones in the ceiling. I mean, that's the one room when I go into that room in the house. You just can't hide. It reveals everything. And can I be honest with you? There's some things it reveals that I really don't want to admit are there. But it's obvious. It reveals it. I've said this to you many, many times, but I believe God uses marriage in the life of a married couple more than any other relationship to bring about our sanctification. Because you should be with your spouse more than any other person in your life. And can I just say this? She's going to see some stuff you don't see. And because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Do you get that? I want to believe when I get out of the shower, I didn't miss a spot. But I trust Lisa when she says there's a spot. Why can't you trust your spouse when she reveals what she sees to you or what he sees to you? Why do you have to be so defensive? Why do you have to get so angry? Why do you have to be so defeated? Why can't you just admit what's probably true? You're probably more like she sees you than you see you. You know what that means about you, hon? You're probably more like he sees you than the way you see you. We just do not want to admit that's the way we are. And it's a roadblock to intimacy. Because we keep coming into the marriage bed with dirt and grease and yuck. And what you're saying to your spouse is, this is just the way I am. Not the way he sees you or she sees you, but the way you see you. And you believe it's okay. So you do in your spiritual and psychological life what you would not do in your physical life. Should we not be more concerned about this robe of salvation that God's placed on us than any shirt we might put on or any pair of pajamas we might put on? You need a place with your spouse that's private,
where the dirt you have, either genetically or environmentally, can be exposed to you. And God's going to use your spouse. Secondly, in our bathroom, we have a fresh water supply that comes from the well through the plumbing to our sinks, to our commode, to our bathtub, to our shower. And then we have some other plumbing that's hooked to those pieces that take the dirty water away. I think all of us agree there's got to be fresh water in, there's got to be dirty water out. Agreed? And somewhere when the fresh water comes in, especially in the bathtub, the shower, and the sink, there needs to be a little soap, there needs to be a little detergent, there needs to be a little shampoo, because fresh water alone just can't deal with some of the junk that you and I come in contact with. Boy, the next time you reach into your cabinets and get your bottle of shampoo or you get another bar of soap out, you get your toothpaste out, will you remember what ultimately deals with what's wrong in your life? And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand, as a husband, as a wife, there is not anything you've dealt with genetically or environmentally that cannot be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Man, that is the key to the marriage relationship, us believing and applying the principle of the death of Christ to our spouse when our spouse sins against us. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I like a shower better than a bath, because I realize that if I get in a bath after a hard day's work on the farm, there's a point to where I'm in what was on me. Yuck. I am such a neat freak that if I am going to take a real bath, I want to take a shower before I take a bath. Sorry. Now, the reason I like a shower is because there's this thing at the bottom of the shower, and it's pretty big, and you don't have to worry about a stopper or a plunger. I mean, when the water hits you and the shampoo runs off and the soap runs off, it's all gone. It never gets this deep. But man, when you get in the bathtub and you stop the bottom hole, kind of have this thought, ooh, I'm now in it. You guys ever got the grease off your hands in the sink? And I don't know about your sink, but the water comes into my sink faster than it goes out. I got my sink, Lisa's got her sink. Water's coming in. I'm washing the grease off my hands. Turn the water off. Pull the stopper or don't pull the stopper. And if I leave, it's still there. Amen? And that's what's true in many marriages. You let the water out really, 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 really slow of what he done 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago. Yes, the water's gone. It's gone from him. But the remnant's still there. You know how it kind of makes that line sometimes in the toilet? Just can't get it out of your mind, can you? Can I tell you what I really believe to be true? We got to change the way we deal with what's wrong and what we've done wrong. I think we men, especially, and you ladies too, when we do wrong, we need to quit saying, I'm sorry. Now, I'm not saying don't address it. But I think I'm sorry is more worldly than godly. I think many times spouses say, I'm sorry. And we're really not sorry for what we did. We're sorry that what we did hurt you the way it hurt you. But we're really not sorry for what we did. As a matter of fact, some spouses just keep hearing this. I don't hear it anymore. I don't hear it anymore. Because here's what I'm sorry is doing. I'm sorry is dealing with you, not me. If I'm saying I'm sorry to you, what I'm doing is I'm dealing with you and how this affected you, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm dealing with me. Make sense? And you know what's happening in many of our homes? When one spouse says I'm sorry, the other spouse says it's okay. And you know what okay says? See, I'm sorry says I'm dealing with you, not me. It's okay is saying I'm dealing with you, but not me. Did you get that? How many times have you told your spouse it's okay when it's really not okay? Yeah. Now, if you're a wife saying to your husband, it's okay, he believes you. First time he's believed you, but he believes you. And he's walking away thinking everything's okay because he said he's sorry. He dealt with you, but he didn't deal with him. And you just said it was okay for him to deal with you, not him. You don't mean to do that, but that's what you did. And this thing just keeps backing up and 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 backing up. And we're dealing with the same junk we've been dealing with our entire marriage. Why? Because we're getting only to the fruit, never to the root of the problem. Until you deal with the root of the problem, there will not be a change in the marriage. And before there will be a change in the bedroom, there's going to be a change in the bathroom. Here's what I believe. The one sinning has got to start saying, I sinned. Do you know what the main word that's used in the Bible for sin means? It means to miss the mark. It means to fall short. If I can be totally honest with you, here's what's got to start happening in many of our marriages. We got to quit living by our mark and go more by her mark or his mark. There's not a one of us that believes it's okay to live by our standard and not God's standard, but yet every one of us believe as a man we should live by our standard and not her standard, or vice versa. Therefore, all we do is say, I'm sorry, instead of I've sinned. Honey, I just felt short of what you needed from me. I just fell short of your expectation. I sinned. I missed it. I blew it. Then I'm sorry. I sinned. Recognize you. Recognize there's a core problem. And it's not her or him. It's you. And then what you need back if you're the one sinning is not, it's okay. Because it's not okay. And it will not be okay until this happens. Forgiveness. And so instead of saying, I'm okay, what you need to say is, I forgive you, and it be true. What some of us really need to say at that moment is, I am so hurt, I'm not going to forgive you right now. That's not an excuse, but that's the truth. Agreed? Therefore, he or she is now ready for the consequence. When you sin against your spouse and they do not forgive you, there is a debt that's going to be paid. And now the relationship's going to change for the next hour, the next week, the next month, and you're now in debt, and your spouse is the banker. And woo, interest is accrued daily. This thing gets huge. And pretty soon, one's going to have to admit he'll never be able to pay this back. Therefore, the only answer is to forgive. Or the one trying to pay the debt back will just declare bankruptcy. And we got too many marriages where one's trying to pay back for what they did wrong. And it'll never work. See, what I'm proposing is this. When your spouse sins against you, you need to apply the blood of Christ to your marriage. But if you're the one sinning, you need to apply the life of Christ to your marriage. Life of Christ being what? Yes, God has forgiven me in Christ, but he did not forgive me so that I can fail. He did not forgive me so that I can sin and be saved by grace. God saved me so that I can be free not to sin. He saved me so that he could put his life in me, and I can now live a life differently than the life I used to live, because I'm not living by my life, I'm living by his life. And I'm saying to every man in here, every woman in here, we can stop doing what we're doing that's destroying the relationship with our spouse, because we have that ability. But what we're bad about, wanting to apply the blood but not apply the life. To apply the life, we not only confess and agree that we're missing the mark, but we really repent. We really turn. Whether my sin's genetic, whether my sin's environmental, does not matter. In Christ, I can so be clean that I can truly become who God wants me to be. And can I just say this? When you become who God wants you to be, you'd be surprised that your wife will be satisfied with that. And your husband will be satisfied with that. Because that's who they need us to be. It's who God intends us to be in Christ. Now, as I close, if you don't deal with it daily and you let it back up and back up and back up and back up, I hope you've never had that happen. But have you ever had your septic tank go bad and there be a clog in the main line and it back up in the house? It's horrible. It's far worse dealing with it later than it is now. Everybody agree? Now, I want to say this to you. There's going to come a time when you can go to the place and rent that Roto-Rooter or whatever they call it. But it's probably not going to work. If you can't put the Drano in the clog and get the clog unclogged, there is a time you need to call the plumber. That's your pastor. That's a counselor. But let me tell you what not to do before you call the plumber. Don't go to your friend. Don't go to somebody to get moral support about how bad you're being treated and how terrible your spouse is, and unload on them your side of the story. If they're not a plumber, you just might make it worse. You hear me? Need to call a plumber. I mean, I can call a lot of people who can tell me how bad it is to take a bath in grease and slime. But are we really correcting the problem? No. So when you call your plumber, you make sure your plumber can deal with your problem. Because the bathroom, it's not just a place of cleansing. It's got to remain a place of privacy. And just as you don't want a lot of people in your bedroom, you shouldn't want a lot of people in your bathroom. They are connected. The place of privacy where confession and cleansing can take place and repentance leads to the bedroom of intimacy. Make sense? How many of us need to remodel our bathroom? Now, before you just start tearing walls out and putting in new sinks, Talk to your spouse about it. Okay? But together, let's remodel. If you're a young couple, let's build the right bathroom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a place that actually fosters and reflects intimacy. A place where we can truly be who we are and trust the one that's with us to not hurt us, but to help us by exposing to us what's hurting them. And don't let our hard heart, don't let our pride get in the way. Because if it's hurting our spouse, it's hurting us because we are truly one. Father, help our couples deal with what's causing a separation, and that's the individual sin in their life. Empower us to live victoriously with the life of Christ. In your Son's name, amen.